You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And very pleasant good morning, everybody. As always, good to be back with you. This is the Marlins Rewind. And last night at Lone Depot Park, the Marlins opened up a four-game, three-day set against the visiting Atlanta Braves. Pablo Lopez went opposite of the veteran right-hander, Jake Odorizzi. And with a recap, as always, here is Glenn Geffner.
Well, it started well for the Marlins tonight. A couple of early runs, but the Braves get it done in the end. They hold the Marlins off in the ninth inning. Atlanta, a 4-3 victory in game one of this four-game series. The Braves, baseball's second-best team since the beginning of June, roll on. They are now 44-19 since the calendar flipped from May to June. Only the Dodgers at 44-17 have been better across the majors. Atlanta playing the Marlins for the first time in that stretch after going 5-4 against Miami in April and May, gets the victory here at Lone Depot Park tonight. Jake Odorizzi made his second Braves start since being acquired in a deadline deal with the Astros. Pablo Lopez made his 23rd start of the year for Miami. And this game was scoreless into the bottom half of inning number two. But that didn't last long. Leading off the home half of the second in his first game, coming off the injured list here tonight, Brian Anderson. On 2-2, there's a ball hammered to left. Rosario in pursuit, turns, watches. Goodbye! Home run, Brian Anderson. And his first bat off the injured list, and he makes it 1-0 Marlins. Anderson would go 2-for-4 in this game, adding a single and a walk. A nice job for him. He'd missed the last 16 games, beginning July 23rd on the injured list with a sprained left shoulder. After the Anderson walk, Miguel Rojas walked. Lewin Diaz singled. Marlins had met at the corners, nobody out for Jacob Stallings. 1-0 pitch to Stallings. This is a ground ball to third base. Riley has it. Goes down to second. They get one. Back to first. They get two. But Rojas scores to make it 2-0. That would be the only out that Stallings made in the game. It produced a run. He would go 3-for-3 tonight. His first three-hit game as a Marlin. And Miami had that 2-0 lead after two. But they couldn't add on despite a couple of two-out hits by Peyton Burdick. Then Joey Wendell. John Birdie struck out. And the Marlins had left three on base in the first couple of innings. They had a chance again in the third, consecutive two-out hits by Anderson and Rojas, but Lewin Diaz a fly ball to center, and it stayed 2-0 into the fourth. Miami had stranded five in the first three innings of this game. And in the top of the fourth inning, the Braves began to mount their comeback. Two outs, nobody on. Their new first baseman here in 2022, Matt Olson, got Atlanta started. Until September 2nd, 3rd, and 4th in Atlanta. Then we end the season against Atlanta. Three games here, October 3rd, 4th, and 5th. There's one crushed out to right center. Blade going back, and that ball's going to get out of here. Matt Olson, a home run to make it 2-1. It's his 22nd of the season.
RBI number 71 for Matt Olson, who has started every single game, 113 for 113, with the Braves this season. It would stay 2-1 into the sixth inning. Jake Odorizzi was done after four tonight, gave up eight hits and two runs, walked one, struck out two, gave up the long ball to Anderson through 87 pitches, 57 strikes. Bullpen did a nice job for the Braves in this one. Colin McHugh hung zeros in the fifth and sixth inning, Tyler Matzik in the seventh. And meanwhile, in the sixth, Atlanta would chase Pablo Lopez, a leadoff double by Michael Harris II, the 21-year-old center fielder, who, when he was brought up on May 28th, had never played a game above double A and only played a handful even at that level. But he doubled to begin the sixth inning. Batting against the shift, Ronald Acuna Jr. grounded out to the second baseman, John Birdie, out in right field. That got Harris to third with one out and brought Dansby Swanson up. 2-2 Lopez to Swanson. And it's nubbed into center field. Blade comes on, makes the catch. Harris tags, coming home. Blade fires to the plate on a bounce, and Harris is in there safely with the head first dive. We're tied at two. Blade did all he could, but Harris with great speed able to score on the fly ball to center off the bat of Swanson. Austin Riley followed with a double. That would be it for Pablo Lopez tonight. Done after 93 pitches, 64 strikes. Steven Ogre came on to face the left-handed bat of Matt Olson, and he got him to ground out first baseman to the pitcher covering. And we went to the bottom of the sixth. It was the Marlins 2 and the Braves 2. For Pablo, 5 2/3 innings, two runs allowed on four hits, didn't walk anybody, struck out four, allowed the home run to Olson. You mentioned 93 pitches, 64 strikes. So
It was 2-2 into the seventh. Waskar Brazoban on to pitch for the Marlins after William Contreras bounced to third. Eddie Rosario singled. So the Braves had the go-ahead man on at first with one out for Marcelo Ozuna. 2-2 to Ozuna is a ground ball to third base. In between hop to Anita Fielder Wendell, the second one, back to first. Dug out by Lewin, a double play. Magically turned, 5-4-3. Great play by Wendell to start it. And a terrific dig at first base by Lewin to finish it. Wow.
What a terrific defensive effort there to keep this game 2-2. And that was our score into the eighth. Eliezer Hernandez pitched the eighth inning here tonight. And after allowing a leadoff double to Vaughn Grissom, playing in his second big league game at age 21, I was just talking about the fact that Eliezer has been plagued by the long ball here in 2022 when he went after Michael Harris II. 1-2 to Harris is shot deep to right, down the line, and out of here, off the facade of the home run porch. A two-run homer for the 21-year-old Harris, and the Braves go up 4-2 in the eighth.
Well, they handed that 4-2 lead to Kirby Yates, making his second appearance of the season. Hadn't pitched since early 2020 following Tommy John surgery. And Yates, in a big spot, got the first out. Lewin Diaz in a ground ball to first base. But then Jacob Stallings doubled for his third hit in the game. He was wild pitched to third, down by two. Miami made a man at third, one out for Peyton Burdick. Guarding the line and deep.
Burdick tags one toward the gap, left field, and that one is off the wall. Extra bases for Burdick. In to score Stallings, and it's a 4-3 game. Burdick in its second with a head first dive.
So the Marlins had the tying man at second with one out in the eighth inning. At that point, Bryant Snitker brought the lefty A.J. Minter on to face Joey Wendell. Donnie countered with a pinch hitter, Garrett Cooper. Cooper, who didn't start today, left yesterday's game with some calf cramping. Then they talked about tightness in that calf pregame today. Cooper struck out against the lefty Minter for the second out, and when John Birdie popped a second, the Braves would carry their 4-3 lead into the ninth. Richard Blyer, a scoreless top of the ninth, keep the game right where it was. And in the bottom of the ninth, the Marlins had the unenviable task of trying to tie this game up against one of the best closers in baseball over the last decade or so, Kenley Jansen. Jansen, in his first year as a Brave after a long, successful run with the Dodgers, he struck out Luke Williams leading off the ninth inning, but then he walked J.J. Bleday. Brian Anderson struck out for the second out. With Miguel Rojas at the plate, Bleday stole second. So now the Marlins had the tying man in scoring position with two outs in the ninth. Miggy worked a walk, putting the winning man on at first base. And with two aboard and two outs, it came down to Kenley Jansen and the first baseman, Lewin Diaz.
Two on, two outs. There go the runners. The 1-1 is a fly ball into right field. Coming on Acuna. Out goes Grissom, and Acuna makes the catch to end the ball game. So a couple of walks gave the Marlins hope in the ninth inning, but ultimately Jansen slams the door, and the Braves take the series opener tonight by the final score of 4-3.
A one-run win for the Braves, another one-run loss for the Marlins. Now 19-25 in games decided by a single run. They've played more one-run games. They have lost more one-run games than anybody in all of baseball. The home run by Michael Harris II gave the Braves the lead in the eighth inning. That's our big play of the game tonight, brought to you by Palm Beach Harley-Davidson and Alligator Alley Harley-Davidson, the number one volume Harley dealer group in South Florida. For the Braves, four runs, eight hits, no errors, three left. For the Marlins, three runs on a dozen hits, no errors, 13 left. Miami 1-14 with men in scoring position tonight. Marlins had a lot of chances right down to the final pitch of the game. Tyler Matzek, the winner in relief, 2-2. Eliezer Hernandez, the loser in relief, 2-6. Kenley Jansen, his 25th save and 29 opportunities. Time of the ball game, 3 hours. 37 minutes. Braves now 4-4 on their road trip. They're 44-19 beginning June 1st. Atlanta now 67-46 overall on the year, 30-24 on the road. As for the Marlins, well, they are losers now in 10 of their last 13. They're 11-22 over the last 33 games beginning July 6th and 50-62 overall. Marlins 23-29 here at Lone Depot Park as they come up short tonight. 4-3, the Braves win it. The Marlins and AutoNation are working together again this year to strike out cancer in our communities. Every time Marlins pitcher records a strikeout in 2022, $25 will be donated to AutoNation's Drive Pink Initiative to support cancer research. Tonight, six strikeouts, $150 for this season, 973 Ks, $24,325 from the Marlins to AutoNation's Drive Pink Initiative. 4-3 Atlanta, the final for the Marlins. Lost number 2,500 in franchise history against 2,138 wins all time. And we'll say it again, three runs or fewer now in 12 straight games. Not only the longest single season or multi-season streak in Marlins history, but now the longest streak by any major league team since the Mariners went 13 straight games, three runs or fewer back in 2015. And the Marlins' offensive woes continue. They had chances tonight, 12 hits in the ball game, eight singles, three doubles and a homer. Eight singles, three doubles and a homer for the Marlins. Braves, meanwhile, had eight hits in this game, but nearly all of them, six of the eight, went for extra bases, and that's par for the course for them against the Marlins this season. They now have 76 hits against Marlins pitching this year, and 47 of them have gone for extra bases. 62% of the Braves' hits against the Marlins this year have been doubles, triples, or home runs. And tonight, they rode a bunch of doubles and home runs by Matt Olson and Michael Harris II to a 4-3 victory in Game 1 of this four-game series. Doubleheader tomorrow, a day-nighter here at Lone Depot Park. 1-10 for Game 1, 7-10 for the nightcap. Jesus Luzardo is going to pitch one of the games. Marlins are TBA for the other. Could be an opener. Mentioned earlier, we saw Tommy Nance downstairs. We know he's here today. Possibility he could be added as the 27th man. We'll see. Ian Anderson and Spencer Strider are listed as the starters for the twin bill for the Braves coming up here tomorrow.
All right, tough loss for the Marlins, and for the 15th consecutive games, the Marlins score three runs or less. Let's hear what Don Mattingly had to say afterwards.
Starting with Pablo, you know, this first time that he'd seen the Braves this season, just what stood out to you about what he was able to do tonight?
But it was good. It's a tough lineup, but basically holds those guys to keep us in the game. Deeper into the game. I thought he was good tonight. Thought his cutter was good. His changeup, used a variety of pitches. They hit a couple balls hard at people, but I thought he was pretty good.
Knowing that he's getting into that territory now, pitching this deep into the season, where he's hitting new career highs with innings and things like that. How closely do you monitor him from this point forward?
We always kind of watch, right? We're always going to watch our guys. But Pablo's shown no signs, Mel's going to stay on top of him. Nobody's talked about trying to limit his innings or anything. I think it's probably more important that he finishes a season than it is, necessarily the number of innings. Every year he's kind of gotten to the break a little bit after it and had trouble. But now, he's continually, they've worked on his routines, making sure he's not doing too much in between, trying to get it right, and it seems like that's working. So it's probably as important to have him finish the season as anything else.
You guys had traffic on the base paths basically every inning, only get three runs, just disappointment there.
Well, not disappointed in the traffic for sure.
No, did not have that result in runs.
Yeah, I think it has to start there, right? We give ourselves a lot of chances today. It's probably the best offensively. We've swung the bats in a little bit. It was nice to get Burt back. He gets a couple. Andy gets a couple. So it's nice to kind of get those guys in the lineup. And, Peyton's kind of looked like he's getting going. Jacob's on the back good tonight. So a lot of good things happened. We just obviously didn't get the runs we needed.
Yeah, did it feel a bit different with the two of them back in there we talked pre-game about it, lengthening the lineup?
Just... Absolutely. Absolutely. Two experienced guys. Burt was kind of a spark plug for us before he gets hurt. He's stealing bases all over the place, getting on, causing havoc. And Andy has had different little stretches. He's obviously been hurt a little bit, but getting him back, he was swinging the bat good in AAA on his rehab. So, it's good to have those guys back.
in that sequence, do you want maybe Birdie to wait a bit before trying to steal third? Maybe give Adam a chance or find.
Well, I want him to be safe. That's the main thing. And so we'll always talk about that with, you know, because he's in scoring position at that point. So you want him to be safe. You want him to be sure. You know, we trust him. But it is one of those situations. If it's one out or no outs, you want him to be safe because, again, you're in scoring position. Getting the third obviously makes it easier, but, you know, any hit, he's going to score.
Johnny, with Burdick, you know, that double looked like it was close to being gone. This is his first game, I think, here at Lone Depot Park. Is there a process sometimes with these young players maybe learning the way the ball carries or just especially with how big this ballpark can play sometimes?
I don't understand what you're referring to.
Burdick had the double in the bottom of the eighth and maybe didn't quite hustle out of the box because he thought it was gone. I mean, is that kind of a process of just...
Well, this ballpark, for sure, you gotta hit it good. If you hit it with any topspin, it's not going. Mm-hmm. So... I think that ball had a little bit of topspin on it, but definitely a situation that you don't want to get caught not getting a second on that and thinking it's going to go out. So, I think it's kind of any ballpark, right? But this is a ballpark that you got to hit it. You know, you hit one here, you earn it.
The decision to go with Eliezer in the eighth and what you saw the first two at-bats, the double and then the home run?
Yeah, just felt like that was the best guy, you know, for that spot that we had available today. And, it looked like the double looked like a slider that didn't slide. And the homer was kind of, I think, middle. So didn't get it where he wanted to get it.
It might have been maybe the first look at those two young guys you guys might have had. Just your thoughts on Harris and then Grissom.
We've seen Harris in Atlanta. Grissom was the first, so... It's the first day.
Anything to see Sean for tomorrow?
Not yet.
Sorry. Two games tomorrow. Anything to see Sean for who is going to be the pitcher for the first game?
Yeah, Lizardo's going the first game. And then we'll be a bullpen game the second.
That was Marlins manager Don Mattingly after the Marlins 4-3 setback to the Atlanta Braves last night. Doubleheader today, 110 and 710. In the 110 game, Ian Anderson will take the ball for Atlanta. Jesus Luzardo will get the ball for the Marlins in game two. Don Mattingly, as you heard, he announced a bullpen game for Miami. Spencer Strider, the young, impressive, hard-throwing rookie right-hander for the Atlanta Braves, will go in game two. 110 first pitch in game one will hit the air at 1240. 710 first pitch game two will hit the air at 640. And as always, we hope you'll find some time to join us for both games, a doubleheader at Lone Depot Park tomorrow on the Marlins Radio Network, driven by AutoNation.